All good?
Yep.
All right. But a co-worker say, what's in it for you? A consumer only takes in for themselves, but a co-worker pours out for others. A consumer criticizes everything, but a co-worker appreciates what God is doing. The question then today is, am I a consumer or am I a co-worker or co-laborer in Christ? Now, this is the truth here. Most Christians, if not all, want to contribute, but they feel inadequate. Now, our goal is to move people from first category to the second category. Our goal is to move people from the first category to the second category. So first, we identify the issue, right? People are clueless. Now, secondly, sometimes we think that why discipleship? Why discipleship? And by and large, the challenge is this, yeah. When we start talking about discipleship, a lot of times, church leaders or the pastors, we have to start looking at ourselves. We have to ask the questions that, are we equipping the people? Are we training the people to become disciples of Christ? So when we talk about discipleship, what is discipleship? Why discipleship? Why go to a small group? Why come to church? Why do we do that? Now, by and large today, the church has become very program-driven rather than spirit-driven. Sometimes we reduce church to become, to be like a formula. But is this the church that Jesus imagined it to be? Every time when I start praying for Click Church, when I see the dream that God has for our church. You know, when I was when we were at Click Church, some of you actually have not even been to the Click building. 14th of August, you're going to get a chance, all right? 14th of August, and after that, we're going to fellowship, we're going to eat, invite a friend. We're going to have food, all right? Food. So I remember when I was at the Click building, started praying. I said, God, what is your dream for the church? Disciples that make disciples that make disciples. I see a vision that how the seats will be all filled. The seats were all filled. When the overflow, then we came here. Start praying again. By the way, before we came to this place, somebody heard the story. Pastor Ken has been praying for years. And when I remember I first came here, I started coming to prayer. Where's Claire? Is Claire in the house? Claire, remember 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago? That's right. Before the lockdown, Claire came and looked for me. You know what we did? We just walked over here and we just started praying. And that was 2 years ago. You know, the heart of God is always to reach out to the lost. Amen. And I pray that just as Christ has filled our Click building, God is going to fill every single one of this chair here. Can I get an amen for that? And that from this house, many churches will be birthed. Many churches will be planted. Many souls shall be saved. Why? Because the Bible says that on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The heart of God is so much bigger than you and I. The heart of God is always beyond the four walls of this world. The heart of God is for the students that you're looking after in the school. The family that you have. In your church office, not your church office, but in your office, in your workplaces, the heart of God is for the people around you, for the extended family group. The heart of God is for your friends in school. So for us as the church, we are to be filled by the Spirit of God. And sometimes the church becomes more functional than relational. Everyone say relational. Relational, we got to be a relational church. Relational before functional. And that's often what I tell the team that work with me. Relationship first. If you don't do things well, it is fine. But first thing first, the first question we ask is, can we see eye to eye? Like, I mean, are we okay? Heart to heart, are we okay? We're going to fix that first. If heart to heart we're okay, the rest we can fix. Amen. Same in marriage. A good tip. Same in marriage. If heart to heart you're okay, no matter what trouble comes, the biggest problem can come, the biggest storm of your life can come. But if heart to heart, your husband and wife is okay, and that you are anchored in Christ, you can weather any storm in life. Can I get an amen for that? You can weather any storm in life. As a church, we've got to be more relational. Absolutely. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, the Spirit, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. Now, we are not safe just from the world, but for the world. All right, I'm still going to say that one more time. We are not safe just from the world, but for the world. The greatest thing about being a Christian is that we know that we are saved. The eternal life is with us. And that we have a wonderful relationship with God. But it doesn't just stop there. Some people think being a Christian means say the sinner's prayer and be baptized. And that is only the beginning. Because we are saved not just from the world, but for the world. Amen. But for the world. You know, even as I speak right now, I know the Spirit of God has already started touching your heart. That God is speaking to you, perhaps, that one or two friends that you constantly hang out with. How can I bring the love of Jesus to that person? How can I bring that love of Jesus to that person? Because this is the thing. A religious spirit will always choke the church. Choke the life out of the church. Always program. Always doing things in a certain way. But the Spirit of God empowers the church. Brings life to the church. Same in your family, by the way. Same in your family. We invite the Spirit of God into your life. Invite the Spirit of God in your family. Invite the Spirit of God, even when you're studying. Invite the Spirit of God. And then God will breathe life to you. What is then discipleship? And then who is a disciple? Now that we've seen the issues, right? Clueless and lifeless. Who is a disciple? A disciple is someone who is devoted. A disciple is a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. A disciple is a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to describe to you today what is discipleship. What is discipleship? Now, first thing first, discipleship is relational. Everyone say relational. Relational. One of my favorite pastime right now with Zach. Zach is in the house today. Zach was telling mom, I want to go to church today. I want to sit in the main service. I don't think you use the word main service. That'll be a very big word. He said that I want to see what my dad is doing. Yep, be part of us. So welcome, Zach. Yep, that's good. So one of my favorite pastimes with Zach is to play Lego. Yeah, Lego. Remember what we just built? Many things. The thing about building Legos is that you get to spend time, right? The frustrating about building Legos is that you always look for the missing pieces. Yeah. You see, Lego is about connecting one block to another. Church is the same. It's about building one block to another. Now, the thing about Lego is that as you follow the instruction, if you follow the instruction, you can build a beautiful ship, a beautiful house, or a beautiful car. But if you don't follow the instruction, it will be all over the place. You have a lot of missing pieces. Now, sometimes the church is a bit like that. Unless we build according to what God has in mind, we have a lot of missing pieces, just floating around. Now, in the Lego set, missing pieces by itself looks a bit, it's just, you don't know what you are supposed to do. But when it's all put together, it forms a beautiful building, isn't it? It forms a beautiful building. And that is the heart of God for this church, for His church, is that God wants to build a beautiful house that He dwells. Amen. a beautiful where he dwells, where life is being transformed. Souls are being saved. Church are being planted. And that is where the Spirit of God is moving. Now, if today I were to ask this question, how would you describe your walk with God? What would it be? Do you see God as a relational God? I remember I was spending time with a brother just the other day. We were going through the Lord's Prayer. Remember the Lord's Prayer? What's the first verse to talk about the Lord's Prayer? Anyone? Very good. Our Father in heaven. Relationship. When we first approach God, it's our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's a relationship. Whenever we approach the Lord in a relational way, address Him as a Father. And when we connect with each other in a relational manner, something beautiful will start to take place in the house. It's no longer just a place that you kind of hang out, but it's a place where you can build true relationship with God and with one another. Now, our Father is inviting us, you and I, to an enjoyable, lifelong, loving relationship with Him. That's why in the Bible it says, husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. You see, it's relationship. It's all about relationship. One of the best things that I've grown as a Christian is to have someone walk alongside me, to be able to build relationship with one another. I remember just 2 months ago, when as a team, we found this opportunity to come here. The reason why within 4 weeks, I think as a team, we pull everything together. Why? Because there is relational depth. Now, this is something very important. When you have relational depth with a person, everything can happen very fast. Why? Because there's already a level of trust there. When there is no relationship, when the level of trust is lacking, you realize that things move really slowly. You know, have you ever a time, you know, as husband and wife, you don't have to say much. Just by looking at each other, you know what is needed. Or sometimes my wife just stare at me, I know what not to do. That's all right, just that. All right, it means carry on. No, it means stop. And that's the kind of relationship, imagine, we can build as a community. But the truth is, one can't build such relationship with a large group of people. We can't build such relationship with a small group of people. That's why we say, can you imagine being part of a small group that is committed to follow and obey Jesus? That's why we have small group, we have youth, we have young adults, because we know that a strategy for God's strategy to reach the world is through His disciples. And a disciple, a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, is always operate in a group. That's why Jesus calls the 12 disciples. And then Jesus has Peter, James, and John. A small group. And that is what the Lord is asking us to do. And we also know that discipleship is intentional. Everyone say intentional. Intentional. Everything that is worthwhile requires intentionality. Now, discipleship making is intentionally entering into someone's life to help them know and follow Jesus and teach them to obey His commands. And that is really my heart here. I've experienced that firsthand. What it means to have someone invest in my life. What it means to be part of a group who are committed to follow and to obey Jesus. More than just saying the sinner's prayer or being baptized, but to truly take the word of God seriously. To take the word of Jesus seriously and to obey and to follow. You know, just this morning I was doing my quiet time at a student lounge. That's when Ellie, you text me. Yeah? I was doing my quiet time in the student lounge. I was preparing for today. I come before the Lord. I say, God, here I am, Lord, child of God, and got a big task today. I'm going to share your word. Feeling a bit nervous, God. As I pray, the word of God then come to my heart. Say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Wow. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Any people feeling weary and heavy laden today? Why? And then the word of God then says, learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in spirit. Because Jesus is gentle, he's humble. And then I will give rest to your soul. Anyone feeling tired today? Jesus says, come to me. Just come. I'm gentle. I'm humble. And so come to me. I will give rest to your soul. The kind of rest that no amount of money can buy. You can be the richest man on earth and you can buy the most expensive bed, but if you have no rest in your soul, you will not be able to sleep. But the kind of peace that God can give. You see, that is the kind of relationship that God wants to invite you to partake with him, to enjoy with him. You see, as I was talking about everything in life that is important, requires intentionality. Now, every Monday, I hang out with my wife. So Monday is a bit my day off. I intentionally do that. Why? Because second to Jesus, my wife is the most important relationship. Yeah, yeah. I say this. Yeah, it's for real. Yes. So Monday, don't call me. Yeah. Try not to call me, of course. If things urgent, it's important. Now, a lot of times we think just getting on a wedding day, you know, we spend so much money, so many months, we plan for the wedding day, right? The day come, you know, we enter, say the vow, the pastor bless. Oh, you remember that? Yeah. That is only the beginning, yeah. That is only the beginning. Every relationship that is important, you must intentionally nurture it, spend time, and to build. Think about it. Every relationship that is important, you must spend time to nurture it and to build upon it. Now, to all those who are married, I have something that I want to share to you as your pastor. Have a date night. Like seriously, young family, especially young family. If no one look after your kid, come talk to me. I know there's a lot of you, right? Obviously, I won't be doing it. Actually, talk to your small group leader first. That's right. That's how we work, right? Talk to your small group leader first. Every married couple must go on a date night at least once a month. At least. Try to build on it, yeah? Anyway, yep. I thought I'd just drop a tip to you. So when Jesus called his first disciple in Luke chapter 6, we also learn that Jesus went away to pray. Jesus intentionally went away to pray, and that's when he started calling his disciples. Now, we also learn that discipleship is reproducible. Now, God blessed them and said to them in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, it says, be fruitful and multiply. The first command that God gave to Adam, it's the same command that God gave us spiritually as Christians. We are asked to be fruitful and multiply. We are asked to make disciples. We are asked to make disciples that make disciples. I love this quote by Robert Coleman. It says, one must decide where he wants his ministry to count, or where she wants her ministry to count, in a momentary applause of his life or the reproduction of his life in a few chosen men who will carry on his work after he has gone. You see, God's strategy to the world is very simple. It's that we touch one life at a time. But it's not by addition, but by multiplication. So one actually did this maths before. Some of you may have seen this before. So they were saying that if a guy can reach out, can evangelize to one man every single day, all right, in the first year, he would have evangelized to 365 days. But if the same person were to just disciple two person, if you follow the logic, you add 365 here. We actually have quite a lot of maths teachers here, yeah? We have a year 12 maths, year 12, well, quite a few. Is that correct? Yeah, that's correct, yeah. Yeah. No, it's correct, don't worry. No, it's correct. Mr. Wong, is that correct? Yes, yeah. We have 2 year 12 coordinators here, by the way. All right, amazing. All right, anyway, so you look at the multiplication from year one. So once we hit year 13, you can see the exponential growth, is that right? In the first 3 years, all right, for those of you that study early church history, this is how the Church of Christ grew exponentially in the first 3 years. It's that the disciples of Jesus Christ, just ordinary people, they will go out and they will share the goodness of Jesus. And they will make disciples. As they make disciples, they will then ask the disciple to make disciples. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust with reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." And that's Paul's instructions to Timothy. So Paul instructs Timothy to teach reliable people who are able to teach others. That itself, we can see, four generations of people. So how can I be part of God's strategy to change the world? If I can have the worship team come. So how can I be part of God's strategy to change the world? How can you be part of God's strategy to change the world? It's very simple. It's to be a disciple of Christ who makes disciples that make disciples. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to explore more about this. Today, we talk about the problem with discipleship. We talk a little bit about what is discipleship. Perhaps even as we speak, even as I think about you, you might be thinking that, but what can I do right now? Now that I've heard the word of God, what can I do right now? Remember, I first say everything is about relationship. You know, everything is about relationship. This is what you can do. At this very moment, God is inviting you to enter into a loving relationship with Him. Remember the question that I asked? If I were to ask you to describe your walk with the Lord, what would it be? Love God. And secondly, is if you are not part of a small group, would you consider to be part of a small group today? Because that is where you can get to know people. That is where you can be with another committed follower of Jesus Christ to do life together. No man is a gem. No man is an island. So if I ask everyone to close your eyes and bow your heads, the worship team is going to sing this song. It's an invitational song. It's a song about asking you to come to the Father. Because truly, it is because of the finished work on the cross that Christ has done it all. It's on that basis you can come into a loving relationship with the Father. And the Lord is inviting you today to come. Be ministered by the Lord.
Before the world began, You were on His mind. Never till You cried, was precious in His eyes. Because of His great love, He gave His own Son. Everything was done so You would come. of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done so you would come to the Father. Though your gift is small, broken hearts, broken lives, he would take them all. The power of the word, the power of his blood, everything was done so you would come.
Let us all stand.
For the world.